This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back into the Morning Shift. Abe Gordon, Beau Morgan. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We had a couple of really enjoyable, at least for a time, college football games over the past couple of days. I thought it became relatively clear, obviously, that Indiana was going to handle business. Squid, Oregon, Dan Lanning did everything he could to keep Texas Tech in this game in the first half, but ultimately the talent, the speed, the physicality of Oregon won out in the second half. What did you just, and we're going to get to the NFL here in just a moment when we go in the huddle, but what did you make of Dan Lanning scoring with, I don't know, a second on the clock there to drive the point home?
I didn't do anything for anybody that watched the game. I mean, I think it's a little bit silly. And what's he doing? Is he trying to get votes? There's no reseeding. Yeah. I mean, was he trying to be like, look how – is he trying to make it where when people box score read in a few years, if Oregon was to win it, be like, man, look how dominant Oregon was.
If you watched the game – you saw how dominant Oregon was. And I don't think 23-0 versus 16-0 changed
what
that.
What were they like? 4 of 7 or
4 of 8.
8 on fourth downs. I mean, I don't.
Kept it a one-possession game where Texas Tech could climb into it.
I would tell you they weren't as dominant as you might think. Now, defensively, both teams, I thought, played really well. But it's 6-0, and Morton. Is Uiagalelei has a strip sack of Morton. And then they score on the short field. That makes it 13-0. They make it 16-0, I believe, on another short field.
Yeah.
And then they make it 23-0 on another short field.
With no time on the clock.
So they were not they weren't dominant. It wasn't like they dominated both sides of the football. Did Oregon move the ball? Yeah, they did. But Texas Tech's defense played pretty well. Texas Tech's offense was just that bad.
Yes.
And you can give a lot of credit to Oregon's defense. But, Morton just missed stuff, too.
He had one of those days. He just had one of those days where it was not connecting.
And that you can attribute that to Russ. Now, maybe – they didn't – I don't – you contribute that to Russ.
Maybe. Or a guy just had a bad day. I mean, guys who aren't rusty or haven't rested also just have bad days. It may have just been one of those days. Either way, Oregon handles business. But, yeah, I know you had mentioned the Jamal Williams touchdown at the end of the game for the Saints in a couple years ago, and that kind of made me think back. It's like, yeah, Oregon kind of did the same thing. Game was over. Take the knee.
I think it's silly. I think it's I would say unprofessional because they were getting paid now. There's no need in it. Like, you've won the game. What's the point? Now, I also was a fan of Steve Spurrier, and he did it. And
different
said,
reasons, though.
Yes, but he did it for different reasons, yeah. Ran up the score like
right.
that.
Well, but you had to. You had to impress people and impress computers. And
yeah, I don't
they
know
took that into account.
I don't know what you need to do that for in a playoff game where
right.
nothing is changing after. So I agree with you there. I know we're getting to NFL, but give me what you thought about the Miami-Ohio State game, because that was essentially the second best game of the weekend or the college football playoff weekend or week. It's not a weekend.
Yeah, it was interesting because it made me question what Ohio State was to an extent. Like, obviously, Indiana pushed them around and handled business. To see Miami do it as well, although it wasn't overall surprising because you got to remember, Miami's a team that was number one in the country for a third of the year, essentially, from week 3 to week 6 or whatever it is.
They started the season off hotter than anybody.
Right.
I would say that.
and
wins over Notre Dame and Florida.
Yes,
in there.
They had slipped, and they had had a game here, a game there that cost them an ACC championship berth and nearly cost them a spot in the playoffs. But I think we all kind of saw what they could do, on especially on defense, but on offense as well, but more so on defense. I also think they are well-rounded on offense. They have a pretty good line, but they can run the ball with Fletcher. They can get the ball outside to Tony and some of the guys they have as receivers too. The whole thing for them, is, and it's always been this way, is Carson Beck going to have one of those games?
Well, I was about to say that. It's almost like at times he holds them back, which is another reason why I think Mike Bobo deserves a crap ton of credit, because look how good Beck was with Bobo and with Brock Bowers. And Ladd McConkey didn't play a lot that season, honestly. And now look at the difference, right? Without, you know, when he doesn't have a Bobo and a Brock Bowers, but he's got Malachi Toney, who could be one of the best players in the country. The thing for me about Miami is their defensive line is playing just like he did against Notre Dame and like he did against Florida. And it I didn't watch every game to the same, but they hit a lull clearly in the middle of the season where that line did not play the same. And right now they're playing at an extremely high level. And it's why they're in the semis against Ole Miss. And obviously Georgia loses late last night on a field goal. And then a weird safety that we don't need to really talk about.
But did you enjoy that 15 throwback pass that led to Gunnar Stockton taking one more big hit?
Yeah.
You enjoy that one?
No.
Passes to lose 8 yards and then get the quarterback crushed?
I mean, it's just, yeah. Yeah. And let's talk about the targeting. We got to get to the huddle, but talk about the targeting real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Targeting is a rule I don't like. I don't like guys getting ejected now that they're getting paid. I don't. Was it a defenseless receiver? It was absolutely the definite. It's the definition of what targeting is. Left his feet, made forcible contact to the other player's head or neck area. You can say that the guy was clearly being drug ground, and it was a decision. There was another way to tackle him. I don't care what you say. I've watched it. It was. Now, you can make the argument that it was targeting on Gunnar Stockton. And I would have accepted that, too. Again, I don't like players getting ejected. I cannot stand the fact that they eject guys. The difference, though, in those two was the contact from the Ole Miss player was made to the shoulder of Stockton, and he went to the side, and it was not to the head. Now, it's head or neck area, but the Ole Miss defender hit Stockton in his shoulder. That's the difference in the call. You could call, but I think they both should have been called, to be honest with you, as a personal foul, but not targeting. But by rule, by the law of the definition of that rule, that was targeting against the Georgia defender.
By the definition of the rule, yes. By making a football play, no. Now, again, I'm not saying it shouldn't be called. It has to be called because of what the rule is. But I have a lot of just general issues with the interpretation of the rule. You want to go with targeting in terms of leading with your head? I get it. He led with his shoulder. You want to try and make the argument of a defenseless receiver or whatever? I think by the time you commit yourself to making that tackle, to making that hit, who's to say that he's going to be defenseless? Who's to say what level his head or shoulders are going to be at if he's being dragged down, if he's breaking out of the tackle of the initial guy? It's just too many things are fluid, and it's not just in this one incident.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of times where you see what is targeting, and it's because the offensive player lowers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues I have with that.
The player was clearly going down, but it was the way he launched. I think there's a way to make that play without launching like that that doesn't get called. But
Bo, and this is going to sound such hard knocks, old school nonsense. We playing football or not, man?
You're playing it in 2025. That's what you got to remember.
My biggest thing is take a note out of basketball's playbook. because they do the technical fouls, flagrant one, flagrant two. If you do a targeting one and a targeting two, obviously if you do it twice, you get ejected. If you do a targeting
one. The
old
yellow card, red card system.
Exactly. Very, yeah. very similar. It's simple. Why are we doing this? You're ejecting people for somebody who it may not be even a malicious hit. If it's malicious, fine.
I like the premise. But I think it's still. I think you're leaving too much open interpretation.
Still, yeah, I say still dealing with human interpretation.
You should still have some interpretation from the officials.
How do you feel like just going to the NFL rule? Mm-hmm. The NFL rule. The NFL way about it is it's personal fouls, defenseless receiver. But when it's extremely egregious, it can be reviewed and you can be kicked out. That would probably be the one that you should go to, right?
Because you eject this young man and it changes the entire complexion of this game. Make no mistake. He comes back in the second half. Trinidad Chambliss maybe doesn't start the possession or start the second half going to 12 of 12. It changed the entire game. It really changed the game.
All right. The Ravens and the Steelers are now somehow playing for the division title. And these games are, what, Saturday night? I think this game's the 4:30 kickoff. And if I'm not mistaken, and The Bucks Panthers is the 8:30. I might have them flip, but they're both on ESPN ABC. Do you think either one, Harbaugh or Tomlin are on
that's Sunday night NBC.
That's right. That is Sunday night. This the Niners game.
Seahawks Niners is 8.
Is the 8 o'clock game, right?
Yeah.
You don't believe that Harbaugh is coaching for his job. The Tomlin one
I've heard both.
Is different.
I've heard both people. The loser of this game needs to look out. And I
well, get, I think Tomlin's more. Well, don't you believe that Tomlin would be closer to it than Harbaugh?
Not really.
Why?
Because I don't think they're going to fire Tomlin. I think it's much more likely the Ravens, just in terms of like an actual firing.
Why? Tell me why.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I think this Ravens, the argument for the Ravens would be much more about underachieving than the argument for Tomlin and the Steelers in the last couple of years. I think the Ravens have been in real position to win Super Bowls, and the Steelers have not, in my opinion, in the last couple of years.
Okay. That's fair. What about the fact that John Harbaugh is a guy that he came in with a rookie quarterback and Joe Flacco, won a Super Bowl with him.
Okay.
Then turned around, was able to move on from said quarterback, and has had sustained success with him. Now, hasn't won one without him. The guy's 13-11 in the postseason, 180 wins, 193 total if you count the postseason. And Mike Tomlin is the guy that came in with a veteran quarterback. And I'm not knocking him. I'm just kind of play devil's advocate here. And won a Super Bowl with said quarterback. In his time frame, he's 192 and 114. And his postseason record is 8-11. And he's never won a postseason game without that veteran quarterback, and never was able to take another guy and turn him into a franchise quarterback.
Let me ask you a question about the Ravens. Do you think if they lose this game on Sunday night that they are done in terms of contending? Because if you feel that way, now would be the time.
I don't think they're done. I think it depends on what your internal view
sure
is on Lamar Jackson, because there have been reports out there that saying, I think it was the Baltimore Sun, maybe it was a reporter, a beat reporter, said that they think they don't like. They're unhappy with Lamar Jackson and how he handles meetings. He falls
all of
asleep,
this ties to the same place. If you're going to start over.
But
if you're going to try and continue what you have, I would say continue what you have.
I understand that, but this is one bad year for Harbaugh in a while. Now he's had a losing season before, but it's been a while. I mean, he had a losing season. I think at some maybe it was like. So they were 5-11 and 15. His only losing season was 2015. Other than that, he's had a 500 or better season. And the only difference is Tomlin. And I take that back. In 21, they were 8-9. But so two losing seasons, and then I think Tomlin's got like multiple 8-8s. That's the only thing. That's the whole thing that separates Tomlin really from so many people is. He's never had a losing season. He's had one, two, three 8-8s, a 9-7, a 9-6-1, and they're 9-7 this year.
Is Mike Tomlin a good coach?
Yeah, I do believe
so. Is John Harbaugh a good coach?
Yeah.
What's the likelihood you replace them with a better coach at this point? In their careers, in their coaching, whatever.
I think it's based on everything that we've seen in hiring cycles. It's nowhere near as likely as you would be.
And I think that's part of your conversation is the grass is greener. Are you sure?
They're both by the way, they're both Mike McCarthy. There's not a lot of difference between Mike McCarthy, John Harbaugh, and Mike Tomlin. In fact, going into this year, Tomlin and McCarthy had essentially the exact same record. It was just that one had more losing seasons and the other didn't have any. And that's an argument that is absolutely on there. All right, well,
if they both got fired, who would be a more desirable head coach elsewhere?
I would take either one right now.
I know, but pick one.
Honestly, I don't know. It's hard for me to say.
Good answer.
It's hard for me to say.
Glad we wrapped that up.
I don't know. What would you take?
I think Tomlin would be a hotter commodity than Harbaugh.
Oh, I think a hotter commodity, but doesn't mean better coach. You don't know. You can make an argument for all three of those guys of who's the better coach. It doesn't mean you're right or wrong, but you can make the argument, right? All right. Coming up next, was it Kirby, Schumann, Bobo? All three's fault that Georgia lost last night.
It's Cash Jones' fault and his fault alone.
Yeah, well, he has some media members in this market. And we'll get Abe'd up, which is also mic'd up. You going to tease anything for us?
You want to know about the marathon? I'll tell you about the marathon.
That's not a tease. All right, coming up next on the morning show. Sports Radio 99.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.